This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10. That's AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast that comes after the stuff we talk about before the podcast. It would be a lot funnier if you were actually among the five of us who, anyway.
You could invite everyone again.
Again. Welcome to the show. It is Friday, February 20th, 2015. This is episode number 223. And I say that with such dedication because we have already recorded episode 224, believe it or not.
What? That's crazy.
And let me just say this about that. You're not going to want to miss it next week. So we pre-recorded it because this time next week we will all be either on our way or already in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. And we did a little something different. It's actually really good, if I do say so myself. And I say that even that I know that I'm on it. But anyway, whatever. We're going to talk cars. And we're going to talk watches. And that's it. And it's actually a really fascinating discussion. I learned a lot. So stick around for that. In fact, I tell you what, maybe I'll even release it a day early next week. How about that?
No.
Why not?
Because I'll have to adjust all my little notes.
No, you won't. Okay. You can still stick with your notes, what I told you. But
okay.
I'll just put it out a day early. So welcome. I'm Phil Nickinson, as it says down there. For those of you watching the video. Russell Holly's here.
I am.
Nothing witty to say about that?
Just nothing at all. My presence is now expected.
Well, that's true.
You're no longer a novelty, Russell.
That's right. It's totally worn off.
Look at Russell's that. Russell's magic's gone.
It's a day that ends in Y. I don't care.
Jerry Hildenbrand is with us as well.
Yep.
This is great radio.
Even worse. Andrew Martinick, come on, do something.
I don't know. Am I supposed to like dance around or something? I don't really do that on a regular basis.
We're a bunch.
I'm here though.
Are there special occasions where we can get you to dance?
No.
Oh. I think there's a button in Hangouts toolbar somewhere.
Exactly. You can get a party hat on or something.
Yeah.
And Alex Dobie in England.
Hi, everyone.
We were going to cram more boring white guys into this podcast, but I think this is enough. What do you say?
Speak for yourself.
We can just do a whole podcast of me going like this. So I tried sticking my camera on this computer for a couple days.
That's why you look so funny this morning.
Oh, see? I'll put it back. Whoa. Okay.
I thought you were in a different office this morning when you
called me. No. I just had it on the other monitor.
You're talking to Evil Reverse Phil from
That's right. Parallel Universe
Phil. What they call the Bad Spider-Man? You have a real name?
Yes. Ross,
help me. Venom? Not Bad Spider-Man.
It was Superfish, wasn't it? Or was that something else?
That's the third.
Alex Spider-Man. Is going to dedicate this entire show to keeping us on track.
Well, there's one hell of a segue. Fine, let's talk about Superfish. I did want to talk about Superfish, actually. If you have not heard or have been living under a rock or something, Lenovo did a bad, bad thing. To borrow a line from what's his name? Totally forgot his name. What was that guy's name? Who sang that song?
What song?
In Eyes Wide Shut. It was in Eyes Wide Shut. It was Chris Isaac? Yeah.
You and your hippie music.
Sounds right. My wife will correct me later. Somebody's going to correct me. Somebody in the Q&A, correct me. But anyway, yeah, so Lenovo loaded some really bad ad malware. We'll call it owlware.
I don't think we need to drop the M. This is pretty much just straight up malware, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this
there's no abbreviation needed.
By definition, that's what it is.
All right, let me see. I just read a really good explainer of this on Gizmodo, and I've been reading a lot about it, but I thought Giz did a really good job bringing it down to a level, because I'm not a network guy. I don't necessarily get certificates as well as I should, so they loaded this preloaded, you know, and getting preloaded crap on a PC is nothing new, right? You know, it far out, you know, predates Android devices with crap on them. But the Lenovo had preloaded the certificate, which gives you, and they call it a root cert, right? So it was a root certificate that basically gives you almost unfettered access to anything coming through the network, encrypted or otherwise. Chris Isaac, thank you, Q&A.
It basically tells your computer to trust any network traffic that knows the that can use this certificate.
That is also a really good explanation. And they did it to pump ads into all sorts of web pages. So if you went to Google and it looked like you were shopping for something, it would throw ads to this company that was basically paying Lenovo to do that, right? And that in and of itself is bad, but it's also not, the way it was being done was really bad, but being paid to promote products is nothing new, right? So that made sense. I get that. But the way they did, A, it was evil. It was bad. And B, they screwed up the way they did it so that anyone who was able to crack open the certificate, and somebody did, like in the first day of all this breaking, then anyone else can inject whatever they want. So if you're going to a banking site, they could spoof a banking site. I mean, it's insane. Did I get anywhere close to explaining that right?
It wasn't just a case of the fact they were able to crack it. It's the fact they were able to crack it because they were using lousy encryption, right?
And they used the same private key on every single certificate for every device. So it wasn't a different private key for each device. So once you found one, you had them all.
So you've got this monumental screw-up from Lenovo in a number of levels, right? The fact that somebody thought this was a good idea in the first place.
Well, and that's where you need to start, because there was no malicious intent. They just wanted to make a few bucks. Now, that can be malicious.
Well, no malicious intent, and they just didn't care.
Right. Nobody looked.
You could argue in itself is kind of
what this thing does.
Malicious in itself. I don't know.
Yeah, Lenovo's guilty of not paying attention. That's what it really boils down to. And in this case, it turned out to be super dangerous.
So here's my question, and it's a little rhetorical on my end, but I want to ask it out loud. This currently only affects Lenovo PCs or certain laptops.
Some cheap models, pretty much.
All right, so Lenovo now.
I don't think it affects any of them, but yeah.
Right. So they took it off. Microsoft has pushed patches to help get rid of this, and that's good. That they were able to rectify this so quickly, it was pretty good. Lenovo makes Chromebooks. Do I need to worry about that on a Lenovo Chromebook?
Do you need to worry about it? Yeah, Lenovo could do something just as stupid, but they haven't.
Well, it's a question of who handles the software on a Chromebook, isn't it? Because that Google has more input into that, arguably, for updates and stuff than Microsoft does, right? Lenovo couldn't necessarily just stick something on top of Chrome OS in the way they could on Windows.
Not without approval, no. Yeah.
And you got to imagine if it's something that's replacing ads on Google services, that's going to be a pretty big red flag for Google right there, isn't it?
Right. I mean, there's other things that Lenovo could do, but, I mean, you've got Google to hopefully catch this kind of dumb stuff.
All right, so Chromebooks we're not quite so worried about, right? All right. Lenovo now owns Motorola. Do we need to worry about this on phones?
I think it's more of a question of character more than anything. I mean, we said that Lenovo is guilty of not paying attention, but the fact is they did this, and they now own Motorola, and they now control the software that goes on Motorola phones, including in China where there's less oversight from Google. So maybe that is a valid concern there.
I'm not going to say should we worry. I'm going to say when this happens on Android, and it will.
I understand that we've come dangerously close to something really similar happening before. It didn't happen, but all of the pieces were there for this to happen.
Yep. I think you guys, we were talking about it earlier, and somebody said it was on Sprint as well. But I remember all those AT&T Samsung phones that had the Lumen toolbar. Built right into the browser, captures all traffic back and forth. That's step one to this exact same problem. And because manufacturers can alter the system so much, eventually something is going to slip through. Look at Carrier ID. We had a fit because of the bug that was in it.
IQ,
right. Yeah. Nobody liked what the software was supposed to do, but once you added in a bug that slipped past everybody, it turned it into a security nightmare. This will happen again on Android, and there's not much we can do about it.
Well, thanks for that, Upper Jerry. Hey,
well, no, I mean, you have to hope that it gets caught quickly, and it probably would on Android because there's so many eyes looking at parts of the code. It's not all open. And you have to hope the reaction from Google and or a manufacturer or a carrier will be instant. And that's just the best you can hope for.
And it would have to be instant, really, because on a PC, you at least have the option of reinstalling Windows. Right. You know, you can just take the OS off yourself and install a clean version of it.
And you don't have an option on Android. And I'm not saying Android is more dangerous. The same thing could happen on iOS if something slips past Apple. The thing is if it slipped past Apple, it would be fixed that afternoon. You know, hopefully. If it was this big of a security hole, they would do something to stop it. That would be the only thing that would worry me if this ever slipped in, you know, an Android phone that was fairly popular, is how long would it take to get it fixed?
Well, so, and actually, because of the security stuff that we've done recently, I know the answer to that question. This is one of those things where Google would be able to reach in, stop the app manually, and remove it from the phone instantly. This is something Google Play Services is actually built to handle. So if something like this did happen on Android, Google would be able to stop it within an hour. Like, it would be immediate, and it would be on all the phones.
And I mean, we have the same sort of certificate system in Android, right?
Close enough.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, similar.
That's one of those like set settings that I see and have never once touched. Well,
it's a trust thing. There are certain things that you know you can trust and you want to mark them as trusted. The problem here is Lenovo marked one as trusted that nobody seemed to look at.
I was trying to find it on my phone here. So if I'm more worried about this sort of thing, am I safer? Am I more or less safe if I buy a phone directly from the manufacturer the way that Motorola sells them directly, or a Nexus phone, or HTC does it as well? Or am I less safe if I'm getting a carrier-branded phone?
Well, it drags us back to the concept of bloatware in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this kind of software, there's nothing stopping Motorola or HTC or any of those from installing, especially the ones who are using their own special browser implementation, like Samsung's special browser and HTC special browser. You know, if they decided that it was a good financial decision to have something like the Lumen toolbar on the side, you know, a mistake like this could happen on Android, but it wouldn't ever happen in Chrome, for example.
No.
Because the Chrome's just not built for something like that to happen. So, you know, because a lot of our Android phones currently have Chrome installed as the default, and in some cases don't even have an alternative browser installed, then I think the answer is yes, but there is that one big caveat that it is still possible. It's just maybe somewhat less possible.
I think it's just, who do you trust more in that situation? I don't think you should ever have perfect trust in the manufacturer to do everything right, and you should never have perfect trust in the carrier doing something right or any other software vendor. It's just, who do you think, or what organization do you think can do it best with the least chance of, you know, them messing something up? You know, like we said, don't think there's any intentional wrongdoing here, but, you know, do you trust what software group to, you know, put something out the right way in the most secure way?
So I did just find it in the settings. I remember it's in there. So there are a whole bunch of certificates loaded on my phone. Are those there when I, you know, who loaded these? How did those get there? I don't remember doing it.
Oh, you did it by using the phone in most cases. Right. Trusted certificates get added by going to those sites and by logging in and by using those secure credentials. You add to the trusted certificates. There are a few loaded by default. Google, for example. You know, Google certificates are loaded by default, and there are a couple others that I don't remember off the top of my head. But they do exist, and they do kind of get added as you use them without any kind of, like, pop-up or anything like that.
Cool.
But never without you explicitly okaying it, as far as, yes, I go to this website, yes, I want to log in, yes, I want to remember this. Yes, 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 and then it'll add a certificate. It doesn't just do it if you click a link.
Right. Yeah, you have to log in, and you have to, you know,
make it part of your trusted setup.
Right. Back to what Andrew was saying, I still want to say that my biggest thing would be who I trust that could fix it fastest if this ever happened. I would hope that this would never get past anybody, but it did. It did, last Friday we found out it got, yesterday we found out it got past Lenovo, and it has been for several months. They've known it was there and they've been figuring out what to do with it. Who can fix it the best? That's got to be an important factor in your decision. If it's like, let's say T-Mobile TV had a bug in it that could leak data, you would think T-Mobile could fix that right away on the network side, just stop the app from working until they get it fixed. But what if it's something more deeply embedded, like a browser? I hate to say it, but you're better off buying a phone that doesn't have those kind of extras in it if you're paranoid about that kind of stuff.
I feel better, I guess.
Everybody needs to realize that every time you pick up a device that's connected to the internet and do anything with it, you run the risk of having some sort of malicious issue. It's out there. 9 times out of 10, nothing happens, and 9 times out of 10, for that one time it can happen, it's easily taken care of, and it's taken care of before it gets to you. Internet security is pretty hot topic with a lot of people putting a lot of eyes on it, and they're very proactive. You're not at risk, but you really are at risk. It's likely not going to happen, but it can. So I don't want to scare anybody off, but everybody needs to know that, it may happen to you.
It doesn't help that it's written in this other language. I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said I thought that Gizmodo piece was really well written, because there's a lot of this I don't understand how it works a little bit, and it makes a little more sense to me now.
And there on the other side of that, there are two extremes, right? You have the Giz piece in the middle, and either a lot of it is just too dense and too technical for most people to understand, or on the other extreme, it's just way too sensational,
right?
And doesn't really educate anyone. So it is good to have that middle ground.
Right. There was another malware piece I read. Somebody pinged us on Twitter about it today, and it was just like, no, I'm sorry. It was this malware spies on your phone when it's even after it's shut down. Well, the thing was, your phone wasn't shut down. It made it look like it was, and you would still have to, fall victim to the same traps that you always do.
Your phone was rooted, and you installed some random app from a different app store, and then it tricked you.
And then you said, let that app have root privileges.
Right.
That's the kicker. You had to okay this before it could do anything.
I mean, look, once you check that box that says give this app root privileges, all bets are off. Like, anything could happen at that point. Almost literally anything could happen to your phone.
Yep.
If you don't trust the app.
So it's been one of those days with all that. Yeah. All right, enough doom and gloom.
Right. We don't want to scare anybody, but we want everybody to be aware.
What do you want to talk about? Motorola's going to send Russell a mysterious box on a Wednesday. What do you think's in it?
Andrew says there's going to be a head in it.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Human or other?
Yes.
As much as I love the movie,
a hybrid.
That is like the worst 12 seconds of acting ever. I'm sorry. I love Seven. I think it's a great movie. But that whole "What's in the box?" Meanwhile, I won't give the spoiler.
Definitely not his best work.
No. So.
I think they're just going to troll everybody in the Northeast and send them really small snow shovels.
Oh,
be great.
I think it's going to be a box of Jiffy Pop and some sort of announcement of a free movie. That's my honest for real guess.
It wasn't something that I had even considered, but my favorite guess from the Q&A section is some kind of Amazon Echo competitor.
Huh.
That'd be out of left field.
While out of left field, it's not like Motorola doesn't have all the parts to do that.
True.
They certainly have Bluetooth speakers.
I don't think we're expecting any traditional devices, are we, really, at this point from them?
It's
kind of outside of their normal release cycles.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's something like that. When I saw it, I went, huh, that's not impossible.
Well, and that's good timing to talk about that, actually. Where did I put it?
It's almost like I segued that on purpose.
Phil was
I finally finished the review of this thing, of the Amazon Echo.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you reviewed the box. That would have been awesome.
The box got a higher score, didn't it?
Man, I tell you, I like that Echo a lot. Like, I have no use for it because I don't really want a Bluetooth speaker. But if I were in the market for a Bluetooth speaker, I would totally get this just because it's like, okay, it's a Bluetooth speaker that does some other fun stuff. I think it should have a 3.5mm line in for it just because it's a nice backup. But it's a really fun little speaker. And for $99, you know, if you have Prime, not bad at all. So anyway, look for that on Monday. It'll run on AC and iMore, I guess, because it works with iOS. The iOS experience is exactly the same as the Android experience. And that's nice to see, too. There's no disparity there at all. So that's not a bad guess. I like that.
Yeah,
everything you need is in this box. That's the key right there, right?
Right.
It's not.
I mean, it could be like a giant crate. You don't know what the size of the box is.
That's true.
I want to go on record saying that whatever's in the box, it will never be in stock on Motorola.com. You'll never be able to buy one, and nobody will know how it works afterwards because nobody's ever seen it. And I still want my little keychain NFC thingy, Motorola.
I thought I sent that to you.
No. I didn't even know you were gonna. Now I'm happy. I love
you. Let me see if I can. Well, I mean, I say that. I have absolutely no idea where anything is.
The key link you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
They stopped selling that, right?
Did they?
I think so.
I've got one here. If I can find it, Jerry, I'll send it to you.
Yay. Went
the way of the Moto Skip.
Oh. I used the tattoos, the Skip tattoos. I used those for a while.
I found the, was the Skip the magnetic one that would like clip on your, I found that. So I've got one in here somewhere.
Yeah, it was like that suede thing with the magnets in it.
I found a bunch of those because I was going to take them all apart.
Found it in a box at home.
Try to put them into other things, but I never got around to it.
See, now I don't have a better, guess. That's a really good one.
Yeah. Good job, people in the Q&A.
If that's what it was, something somewhere would have leaked out by now. Come on, nobody can keep a secret in this industry.
It's more likely something would have leaked out if it was a device that we're used to seeing, right? If it was even something along the lines of that weird ear thing they released, that I forget the name of.
The hint.
I actually have it sitting on my desk here.
I mean, people were talking about wearables. I think it's probably too soon for a 360 competitor. I don't think it's something like a successor to something Motorola already makes. This sounds like a new product category, doesn't it?
Right. If they were going to announce a new Moto 360, I think they would do something more than send boxes to a couple people while most people are on their way to Spain. You know.
Yeah, and I saw sites, you know, thinking, hey, maybe it's a new Moto 360. I mean, that's pulled out of your butt. I saw them say, well, it's
way too early for that anyway.
Congress. Yeah, I mean, just because it's the same week before MWC, I mean, they're not doing an MWC announcement of anything. So,
but it could also just be jelly beans and popcorn.
It totally could. And Motorola, at least, you know, through PR, every Christmas sends something fun. I think this year it was popcorn. In the past, it used to be jelly beans. And I would, you know, send it to my wife's office or something and let the newspaper eat them up because I don't need that stuff.
You know what? It could be lollipops.
It could be lollipops.
Did you ever see the box that they did for the launch of Windy Day?
Yes.
No.
I still have my box from Windy Day. It was just amazing, the amount of work that went into that. It was this little box, and you open it up, and it was like a pop-up book. That was the scene from Windy Day, and the phone sat in the middle, and it lit up, and like as soon as you opened it, they like had a battery rig to it on the inside, mm-hmm. and headphone jack so that you could plug in your headphones. It was really amazingly well done.
No, I think it was one of the coolest things like that I've ever seen in packaging is what LG did with the Optimus Black.
Yep.
We've got. I did a whole post on that. I took a picture of like every page in that book that came with that. It was really cool. Now I finally put my Google Cardboard together this week.
I bought one from Amazon, really nice one, and the Nexus 6 doesn't fit in it.
Right.
So I'm going to have to find another one.
Well, oh, I should have told you that. Anything. That was my fault, Jerry. Because I was the one who told you to get that one.
It's still real nice. I'll just have to buy another phone that fits.
The Droid Turbo fits in it amazingly, and with that higher resolution display. Okay.
I'll have to buy a good phone that fits.
You'll have to buy a phone that he can actually use where he lives. You know.
Hey, Alex. Alex has the G Flex 2 there. How's that going?
I sure do. So, we got this a few days ago. It's, I guess if I had to sum it up in a word, it's probably weird would be the word I would go for. It's.
Oh, I was expecting a worse word.
You mean weird?
I think I said those words before the podcast began, but it's. I mean, my hope for this phone was that it would just be a better G3, and all the other stuff layered on top, the curved screen, the self-healing back, and all this other stuff. And, you know, the plastic OLED, whatever else, would just be icing. I think using this past few days has proved to me that there are still compromises there. This isn't just a good Snapdragon 810 phone with extra stuff laid on top. This is first and foremost a curved phone with a self-healing back that happens to be Snapdragon 810, but there are also compromises there. The few that I've found, you go back to the self-healing back for a moment. That thing is a total lint and dust magnet. You can't take it out of your pocket without dust accumulating around the top of it. You have issues with the screen, with it being kind of grainy, with the lowest brightness level being way, way brighter than it needs to be, to the point where you can't really use it in a dark room without it just burning your eyes. And you also have issues with battery life that we're seeing right now. And okay, it's early firmware, but it is the firmware they're selling in Korea. So, you have this device that's the same battery as the G3 that's running a lower resolution screen, is on a more advanced chip, and yet just doesn't seem to function noticeably better than the G3, and actually in a couple of areas, like battery life, seems to be noticeably worse. So it's not a bad phone. It's enjoyable to use. Got Lollipop, the LG UI, all the features from the G3 that you probably know and love, and the camera from the G3, which is still one of the best cameras on an Android phone. But it is not this slam dunk, here's LG with the first Snapdragon 810 phone that's really, really fast and really great, but also there's this stuff on the side. It is first and foremost built around those features, those gimmicks, if you want to call them that. And, it's almost like the user experience maybe in some places takes a backseat to that.
So you love the phone, right?
I mean, I wanted to like this phone. I after using it in Vegas, I was hopeful for it, not just because that was kind of a quiet show for Android phones, but just because it looked like it would be more than just this weird technical showcase for here are all these crazy technologies that LG Display and LG Chem are working on. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And frankly, when you're getting like 12 hours on a charge with 3 hours screen on time in a device that you're charging flagship money for in 2015, that's no good. And maybe they'll fix that with a software update that they say is coming.
Jeez, but that's even worse than the Moto X.
It's kind of Moto X Nexus 5 sort of territory right now. I need to use it some more to get a better idea, but there are some areas of this that just kind of fall short, and maybe that's just software. We'll have to see when the update comes out. But like I say, they're shipping this in Korea. This is a shipping product. This isn't pre-release. So we'll just have to wait and see how it turns out. But it's this isn't the first Snapdragon 810 phone that you will really want to use. This is LG doing something a little bit weird, a little bit quirky, and maybe it's not. Maybe you have to sacrifice in other areas, and there are compromises. But it's this isn't a new flagship, really. This isn't a replacement for the G3. You're gonna have to wait on the G4 for that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of your complaints have sounded like just early bad software.
And we had that with the G3, but I think, given the state of things right now, I would be very surprised if they could fix things to the extent that I think they need to be fixed with just software.
When I remember when Andrew and I were tag team reviewing the G3, he had Verizon.
The G2 at that point.
G2. Mm-hmm. And what we got, the software was bad. It caused issues everywhere. And then right about the time we were wrapping up, they updated the software and made everything a lot better. But it doesn't sound like things are even good enough for that to happen with what you're seeing.
I mean, they could fix. I mean, if there's something really fundamentally wrong with the software that is just tanking battery life, they could fix that. They could fix that overnight. Stuff like the screen, you're never going to fix that software because that's just the way it is.
That's what I mean. You're seeing real issues that a software fix probably isn't going to be able to address.
Hmm. Yeah. And that's unfortunate. It could have been, I think, a nice phone. And we had every indication at Vegas that it probably would have been a decent phone overall. But I think there are more compromises there that you see when you use it for a few days than necessarily you would see on the show floor, right?
Yeah, I mean, we came out of that just, you know, hour or two with it pretty excited.
Yeah, and maybe that was, you know, maybe you got kind of a little bit too optimistic there, but, you know, that's why I've learned to ignore first impressions of phones.
But I like being excited. I don't get that excited.
No, Phil, you don't have to be excited. You can't have nice things.
Oh, man. Well, fine. Well, as long as we're talking about being excited, why don't we just launch into a preview of what we expected MWC, since we're not doing a live show next week. I mean, we've got a few things that we pretty much know, we think we know, right? Galaxy S6, and a new HTC One, probably M9, right? Or but maybe more. Which one do you want to talk about first? No, nobody. All right, we're done. See ya.
Peace.
Well, it's
pick one, Jerry.
M9.
All right. I don't know a thing about it.
That's why we're sitting here quiet. What can we say? Right. What can't we say?
I mean, we had the.
No, I mean, I don't know a thing about it. It's,
we had those initial kind of case leaks that were kind of funky, and we saw multiple leaks in the span of like a week that were all different looking. And since then, we really haven't gotten too much from there. It's all been the same kind of basic speculation of, you know, they're finally going to go with a higher resolution camera. You know, there's going to be a big one and a little one. There's some kind of a potential fingerprint scanner thing going on. That's all kind of basic stuff you could have thrown darts at a dartboard and picked out 6 months ago.
Right. If you like the M8, you're probably going to love the M9. If you didn't like the M8, maybe there'll be something there to attract you, but chances are it's going to fit into that same mold. Everything we've seen makes it look like a refined M8.
And refined in the areas that matter, right? The biggest thing
that we assume.
The biggest thing that killed that phone for me was the camera. You know, I decided, I think going into last year, the one thing I wasn't going to put up with on phones was just lousy cameras, because we had so many of those on Android phones the year before. And, you know, HTC, I think, was probably among the most disappointing in a flagship phone last year. So it's definitely a good thing if they're going with a more traditional high megapixel count camera. Maybe even with some kind of stabilization thrown in there. That's what the manufacturers that are getting good results, like LG and Samsung, are doing these days.
I don't think there's a single person, and you guys know I'm in that frequencies thing, that we get to give a little more unfettered feedback to HTC, you know, just in a different way than we do in a more traditional, you know, review or blog post. But I don't think there's a single person who has said, you know, no, the camera's just fine, don't touch it. I think in some way we've all pretty much said UltraPixel was a cool idea, but you just can't get away with that resolution, and ultimately it just didn't work as well as you kind of hoped it would.
I think the word I used was in one of our M8 or M9 preview things was it was a kind of a failed experiment. It was this idea that never really worked out in the real world.
So well, maybe. I mean, I think it's going to be really cool on the other side of the phone.
Yeah. I mean, the Desire Eye was still a little disappointing with that. Well, that wasn't UltraPixel, I guess. That was just 13. That was just sheer resolution. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I mean, we put the Desire Eye right up next to an iPhone 6, and we're doing selfies in the dark with them, and it was still just night and day. The iPhone was so much better. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, the iPhone's using quote-unquote megapixel technology, ultra-pixel technology. I think it's just, I really think HTC gave up too soon, maybe made some wrong decisions, and that's something they should not have abandoned. That makes me sad.
No, well, the idea is good. The problem is the parts they sourced just weren't good enough. The parts they could get which had the larger pixels all had issues in other places, like washed-out colors, lousy dynamic range. If they could get the parts from somewhere that also, you know, that sucked in enough light but also had decent dynamic range and, you know, stabilization built in like they had in the M7, then maybe they could do it. But the technology just didn't exist. And I mean, it maybe was good, but it just didn't work out.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say, you know, they don't necessarily have to develop and fail at this in public either. You know, why don't they skip a generation or two while they work on this in-house? Or like you said, use some of that technology in a front-facing camera or a lower-end phone where they want to tinker with it. And, you know, until they can source those better parts, you know, maybe put the 20-megapixel, you know, sensor with OIS in an M9 or something and try that, which presumably they've tested before putting it in as well.
Well, and it's not that they can't do a higher resolution ultrapixel. I mean, it's technically possible, but you have...
I mean, the phone would be an inch thick, right?
If it's Z-axis
ultrapixel,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, a number of reasons why they didn't, and I think that was one of them. But you've also got file size, you've also got, you know, cost.
Cost.
So, yeah, that was. It's not that they can't technically do it, so... Yeah, I think there were a number of things that needed to be worked on. Now, what about this idea that there's more than one phone coming?
I mean, I think eventually there will be more than one phone coming. Whether we get it in Barcelona, maybe, maybe not. But I think with, you know, you have this kind of pattern established now where you have a big phone and a small phone. Apple did it with the 6 and the 6 Plus. You have Samsung with their Galaxy S series and the Note series.
HTC kind of with the Mini.
They did with the Mini and the Max. They had three sizes there, but... The Max was kind of weird and didn't work out too well. The Mini
Max was awful.
Yeah, you still see a lot of Minis in the UK. Mini cars, not Mini cars.
The Mini was great. I can't remember if I have one here, if I let somebody borrow it. The Mini was great. It was like it was the same size as the M7.
AT&T carried the Mini, didn't they?
I think Verizon got it as the Remix.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I had.
It was a good phone, a really nice size that was a lot easier to hold than the M8. But it just didn't, you know, if you wanted, it wasn't a Z3 compact or anything like that. If you wanted to get that smaller size, you had to take a cut in camera quality, specs and all the rest of it.
I like the idea that they're going to potentially have a larger version of the same platform, pretty much, you know. Hopefully there won't be such a big delta between the specs on the two, where it's kind of like the flagship phone is 5-ish inches or something, and it frees them up to do the larger phones so that they don't have to try to cut down the middle and have one phone that's 5.5 inches and unwieldy. That's kind of my fear.
I think it's important with HTC to remember that they're doing other things as well. They have this weird non-mobile, not focus, but separate track that they're working on where the re-camera comes in, and there's this partnership with Under Armour that we haven't really seen anything out of yet. And Under Armour just bought all these fitness tracking companies. And I think it would not surprise me at all to see something just totally out of left field. Maybe not at MWC, certainly later this year. We're going to get some really interesting stuff. But.
And of course, we've got to remember HTC is still on board as a partner with Android Wear. They've not released anything yet. You know, I think we've heard unofficially from people that, of course, they're working on stuff, but then they're always working on all of the things because everyone is.
Right. Okay, let's switch over to Samsung. What do we expect from them? Galaxy S6. I don't know why I keep trying to say Galaxy X6. Mm-hmm. That's an entirely different phone. I just made that up. We've seen leaks. We've seen case leaks. We saw some more today, actually, I think.
That's just going to happen. That happens every time for most big phones.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure that the case manufacturers have as good an idea as people think they do about what the phone is going to look like. I think people always read too much into these case leaks. And maybe it'll look something a little bit like that, but this isn't just a GS6 render with someone's case render put over the top of it. It'll be their idea of what the GS6 is going to look like. And maybe it's accurate, maybe it isn't, but we maybe shouldn't read too much into that.
Thank you. I absolutely loathe renders because I can make them.
It is plenty easy for them to put something up there just so they have a placeholder on Amazon, and then they can swap it out when they're ready to go.
Exactly.
And they can start getting the search juice for it. So
it's either that or no image available.
Well, and it's not hard for them to take a pretty good guess at what the Galaxy S6 is going to look like based on some of what the... rough information that's come out. So, is it really hard for them to guess what the Galaxy S6 Edge or whatever is going to look like either? It's like, well, we already know what the Galaxy Note Edge looks like, so why don't you just render this curve onto that at a smaller size?
All they get when they go to make those cases, because a lot of them happen in China, and they get, either 3D designs to work around, or they get the like little plastic bricks that look like this.
Yep.
Where there's no details. It's just, you know, a plastic shape, and they go and build a case around that. So that's what a lot of these guys end up getting to work with, and then they build renders around that.
And then the Samsung president stands up and makes fun of all of us at the beginning of the address. Happens every year.
But, I mean, what to expect from them? I mean, more of the same. They're going to give you a phone that has arguably the best screen in the industry. They're going to stick with their physical home button configuration. They're going to try to squeeze more metal into the phone because so many people have said they need to, whether they do or not. And they're going to put way too many options in the software that are going to confuse a lot of people, but there's a lot of people that love them.
But I read on the internet they're not going to have so many this year.
Yeah, you read that last year and the year before and the year before too.
I think the difference maybe this year might be that Samsung has definitely started to change a lot of what they're doing with industrial design in the past year. You look at the Alpha, the Note 4, the Galaxy A series, and also the lower sales of the GS5 than they'd hoped. So if they're changing stuff on the hardware side, and you know we've already seen some software changes in the Note series, then it stands to reason that with a whole new year starting with a new flagship, that maybe they would look at revamping the software in the same way as they have the hardware. It's maybe a bit more plausible this year than it was in previous years.
But to expect it to be a complete sea change from what we're seeing just on the Galaxy S5 that got a Lollipop update now is pretty insane.
Well, no, I mean, look, what Samsung does is they put the old interface with the new OS. They've done that every year. If we're looking at what they would do with a brand new product, then maybe they would just take something. They would start from scratch, maybe with Lollipop as the base and with a bit more deference to material design, maybe. And maybe they might do something new and unexpected and a little less overbearing than we've had from Samsung in the past. That's the hope, anyway.
What's going to happen, though, is, you know, at the end of the day on March 1st, you're going to hear people say, well, this doesn't look any different.
Well, that's good.
Well, maybe not. I think if you look at what Samsung's done with the Note and the other metal frame devices, maybe it'll look like an evolution of that, but that's the way these things work. You're not going to get something that is completely different, doesn't look like any other Samsung phone, because they have a strong brand identity associated with that, even if the sales for the last flagship weren't what they would hoped.
Samsung is going to do what Samsung wants to do. When you're the largest electronics company in the world, you trust your own people. That's I just can't go back. Last year, everybody said, oh, Samsung is going to stop so many services. And then instead of taking any away, they gave us Samsung Milk. They gave us a new one instead. Samsung has a vision that's making them money. Even if they didn't make as much money last year as they did the year before, they still made, what, $7 billion on mobile alone? When you make $7 billion profit, you continue to do the things that made you $7 billion.
Do you think we're going to see anything... I think I said totally out of left field earlier from HTC. Do you think we're going to see a surprise from Samsung? And at some point, I remember I said I thought it would not surprise me at all to see something unexpected. I mean, the Gear VR was sort of one of those things, and they've got this crazy camera thing that they showed us at the DevCon. Do you think it's possible we're going to get something unexpected and totally unknown?
So the rumor was that we would have a circular watch from them as well, that it's been a year since the Gear 2, the new Gear. I forget what the code name supposedly was, but it would be circular because circular watches are in right now. Well, circular smartwatches anyway are in right now. And we also have rumors about what they might be doing with the battery. Samsung put out a very kind of vaguely worded blog post on their Samsung Tomorrow blog about how 2015 is going to be the year of mainstream wireless charging. And you think, okay, doing that so close to a major product announcement, maybe they're going to go with built-in wireless charging, especially when they're talking about how thin they can make these things, so that maybe they're finally at the point where they have it built into the stock back panel and not as an accessory that you add on after the fact.
Which you can argue about the influence of Samsung and how many they're going to sell, but that would be a pretty huge deal for having wireless charging be a little more adopted by people.
And it would also make sense if, as rumored, they are going with a smaller battery this size because of the constraints of going with a slimmer chassis, which, you know, you don't know whether to believe rumors or not, but it's come from a few places and it could well be true this time.
Well, Samsung's one of those companies, when they say it's going to be the year of something, they have the weight behind it to actually make it the year of that thing.
They wouldn't have said that. They wouldn't have said that a week before announcing the new flagship if they didn't have all the pieces already in place.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about wireless charging is that they've always sold these little wireless charging kits you can add after the fact, but they always come out later. They're kind of expensive and bulky, and they've always sold their own Qi chargers too, so... It's really been this weird thing that they continue to do, but have never really talked about. So it would be an interesting step for them to go by default.
And you've got to think, for Samsung as an accessory seller as well as a smartphone seller, is it better to sell a Qi charging pad and back to a handful of people, or is it better to sell a phone with built-in Qi and to say to everyone that buys one, look, do you want to have this optional wireless charger as well, and probably sell a load more of them?
I just want the Gear VR to work with more than one phone.
Yeah.
It can be more than one Samsung phone. It doesn't have to be every Android phone, although, you know, I wouldn't complain about that either.
And it won't be, so don't worry about that.
No. But, you know, I there's no good reason that I can't clip my Galaxy S5 into a Gear VR.
Yeah, at some point they're going to have to address that just from the point of... It only works with the Note 4 at this point, so you're you know, at some point later on in this year, you're going to get around to where the Note 4 is going to get replaced, and then now what? Now you have to have a new Gear VR come out with every single Note version. That would be a little funky. Something modular with something you can, you know, clip around the phone to make it fit in there, right? Would be great.
I just want a Gear VR Edge.
You know what, Jerry?
Go back to the charging thing for one more minute, because one of the big questions, if you've been living under a rock, we've done a big thing on the quick charge technology this week, just because, I mean, it's not that I'm fascinated by it, it's not that new, I've been using it for a while, but we finally got some for the car, and for me, that's really changed things, because I don't drive long distances, so, I mean, I'm in the car like 20 minutes on my way to work, and normally I'd get like 10 percentage points, maybe, right? I mean, car chargers have never been fast, but now they are. And that makes that 20-minute drive way different for, you know, the life of my phone. So we've been doing this big piece about it, and one of the questions is, well, what does this mean for Samsung Exynos phones? Because they're not Qualcomm-based. So you think maybe that's a workaround for this? Or?
Well, the Exynos Note 4 has its own technology that works with Samsung's adaptive fast charging, which is cross-compatible on the Snapdragon versions with Qualcomm's Quick Charge 2.0 chargers.
And I believe LG is doing something similar because the charger that they ship with it, I don't believe is Quick Charge, but it does seem to work with Quick Chargers as well. So I think we're going to see a lot of crossover there.
As we found, they've never said, you know, what amount of the technology they're licensing or how they can use it, or, you know, obviously they can't use the Quick Charge branding, so they brand all of their things adaptive fast charging, but they're able to do it on the Exynos in some capacity.
We can't treat Quick Charge like it's some sort of magic.
Right.
It is software on the phone that monitors the battery level and sends a signal to the charger that says, hey, you can send me lots more juice, bro. And the charger says, okay, cool, here's lots more juice. And then the phone finally says, okay, scale back. That's all it is, and Samsung is more than capable of making their own version of that, if they haven't already.
But Qualcomm is also no stranger to whiteboxing their software and selling it to other companies.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Qualcomm said, hey, you can have this, and you can implement it into your own chip, and just don't mention Qualcomm, and it'll only cost you this much.
Yep.
Which may well be what they're doing with the Exynos Note 4 already. We don't know.
Right. We just know that they have a fast charger and it charges quickly, whether you have the Snapdragon or the Exynos one, which kind of brings us back to the same thing of, oh my gosh, the Galaxy S6 isn't going to have Qualcomm in it. Let's all, you know, light our hair on fire.
Dude, that bums me out, but
it doesn't matter.
Part of me says it's great because that means every phone in the world will be on the same chip platform, you know, for that model. The other part of me says, I remember the last LTE device that came to America with an Exynos processor in it, and man, did it suck. Get rid of that. So,
but a lot has changed since then.
Right. I'm a little tentative, and I want to see what's going on.
I think it's been really entirely weird that we've gone as long as we have where Qualcomm is the only company making chips for popular phones. You know, when we all first started doing this, we had cool stuff from Motorola, we had cool stuff from Qualcomm, we had cool stuff from Samsung, and they were definitely not all equal. But it was one of those things where it was, you know, part of the fun for me anyway, was learning what these new chipsets were capable of. And for the last year, it's been, you know, oh, it's a Qualcomm thing. I already know everything about how this is going to work. So well, on a technical level, I'm excited.
And the daily use has, I mean, there's so much parity in the daily use now, right? Like, look at that Dell tablet. Have you noticed anything about just, you know, doing normal things on it that are any different than?
No, it's all been, you know, it's all been normal, same stuff. And, you know, because it's an Intel processor, I know on a technical level where some of its strengths are. And so I'm going to probably this weekend do some stuff with like video encoding, just because it's, you know, it's one of those things where I can, it's a real world thing that I can look at, go really fast and know that it's going really fast because it's Intel.
Does it play Clash of Clans any harder than
it other plays tablets, Clash of Clans exactly the same, although bigger. and boss mode, one of my favorite things to do with the Xbox.
What else from MWC? So,
well, we said, is Samsung gonna surprise us with anything at MWC?
Yeah, somebody answer me.
No. Samsung. Yes. Samsung is big enough that if they want to surprise us with something, they'll hold another event. MWC is going to be about this phone that they expect to sell 75 million of.
True. Fair. Do we want to talk for a second, because I guess it's kind of MWC related, about the LG Watch Urbane?
Yes, we absolutely should. If you haven't seen it, think G Watch R, only a little bit smaller. They got rid of the big giant bezel and just have a smaller bezel. Metal, gold and silver, and oh, it looks nice.
Couple leather band options, yep, instead of rubber.
Looks really, really nice. Otherwise, same internals. You know, Android Wear. We don't know when we'll get it. I'm trying to remember. Did they say Q1? I don't remember. Have to look.
I think they just said announce. Well, and you know, reveal at MWC, having announced out of MWC.
And again, that's how LG does things. It announces what it's going to show at the shows. It's entirely possible they will announce more things in the coming week.
Which, look, given how busy MWC is, isn't necessarily a bad idea, right?
Yeah. I mean, that said, I'm not expecting another phone from them, right? Well, at least not another high-end phone.
Sure, I think we're still...
In fact, last year was just... Was last year the G Pro 2? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
God, that was seems longer.
I mean, it's conceivable they could make another G Pro, but they haven't really sold outside of Korea for a couple of generations.
And this is LG, we'd know. Yeah. Come on. I said earlier, nobody can keep a secret. This is LG.
That's true. Yeah, no, the Urbane looks really, really nice.
Terrible name, but I mean...
Yeah, the name's not great, and I did ask why no G Watch Urbane, and it was really just to not confuse it with the G Watch.
Oh, I'm glad they took the extra G out of there. That was kind of confusing.
Yeah, so it's not the G Watch R Urbane or anything. It's just the LG Watch Urbane. It's not terribly unlike that WebOS watch we saw at CES.
The silver one looks really similar.
Yeah, it doesn't have... I think that one had 3 buttons, did it, Alex?
Yeah, and actually it's kind of built into the function of these various things in WebOS. One, I think, was a home button, one was menu, and one was for like some kind of weird notification pane type quick settings thing. I mean, that it's possible we'll see some kind of a WebOS watch from LG as well, but the hardware is basically the same. They can put whatever OS they want to on this thing. They could well, in some bunker in Seoul somewhere, have a version of the Urbane with WebOS on it. It's entirely possible.
If you say that word one more time, I think Derek appears.
What, Urbane or WebOS?
Either or.
Either one. anything from Asus and Huawei or anybody else?
Huawei, I think we got a press conference from them. They've been doing Honor stuff recently. I think the 6 Plus is due to launch in Europe. Asus, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think we're expecting anything particular from them.
Well, you know, they came out with their two interesting devices at CES. It'll be interesting if we actually get to put hands on and see the Zenfone Zoom. That would be really cool, you know, because that was still very much behind thick plexiglass at CES. And, you know, a couple months later, maybe they're ready to show it.
Cool. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
Sony.
Yeah, Sony, I don't believe, is having a press conference. They're due a new tablet. We'll have to wait and see what they do there. It's been a while since they've refreshed their full-size tablet, the Z2 tablet. The rumor was they're not going to go with a refresh of the actual phone stuff, the Z3 range, until the middle of the year. Supposedly, they're looking at switching to a 12-monthly release cycle was the rumor. That's still not confirmed. Of course, they were on a six-monthly thing before.
They call that the Alex Doby plan.
Right.
Yeah.
They're never going to make that mistake again.
So we're not looking at new phones from Sony, probably maybe mid-range stuff, but nothing earth-shattering there. And of course, Sony is, you know, not in a fantastic financial situation right now, so we'll have to wait and see what they do later in the year with a new flagship.
I didn't pick up one of their tablets last time. I'm looking forward to a new tablet from them that I can play with.
They're nice. They did a good job with the Z3 tablet and the Z2.
We kind of ignore the Q&A this week. I apologize for that. We had a lot of good stuff to talk about. Let me just fly through it. Thomas wants to know, with Google Wallet, with Google rumor to revive Wallet, do you guys think they'll actually market it this time rather than relying on word of mouth as they are now? That's only half that battle. It's not a matter of buying commercial, you know, airtime and saying, here's Google Wallet. You have to get these partners on board.
Well, what partners do you need to get on board, Phil?
Banks. All of them.
But they already have that.
Credit card processing companies.
They really don't.
You can already plug in your bank account to Google Wallet. You're talking about getting better deals for credit cards? I could see that. But they have banks on board. You can fund your Google Wallet account with any bank account.
Fund your Google Wallet account, but you cannot pull directly from that account. You have to perform a juggling act where you move money from one place to another. Google Wallet right now, as far as I'm concerned, is a prepaid Visa gift card.
Exactly.
And you can treat it like that, but it's not, you know, it's not what I originally wanted from my Citibank account with Google Wallet, which was plug in my Citibank account, walk up to a cash register and tap, and have the money go directly from my Citibank account to the person.
Right. It works as a proxy right now, but I think, my point being that it works now better than the word of mouth has carried it to be adopted. Right now, the issue is that people don't use it no matter what. And I don't think the fact that they're not using it is due to the fact that you can't get money into it. It's the fact that people just don't know how to use it. They don't know where they can use it. They don't know anything about it. They haven't even gotten to the point where they're upset about the credit card situation.
I think if they made it like PayPal, where it automatically takes funds and Google told people, hey, you can buy stuff off the internet through this, and this is the protection we offer, a lot more people would use it. So I think it's a bit of both.
I think they just haven't done any marketing for it at all. So I think that they need to start to do that if they want somebody to use it.
And obviously a part of it has to be that it's maybe insulation against Apple Pay. If they want to stop Apple just taking over this area entirely, then they need to, I hate to use the term, but double down on Wallet to get it as even, you know, remotely competitive with what Apple's doing.
I mean, to Russell's point, the rumor is that they're working more closely with credit card issuers and banks to, you know, maybe kick back a little bit of the fees so that they don't charge as big a fee as Apple does, and actually work with these guys rather than try to subvert them. Who knows if they're able to do that? I mean, presumably they tried that the first time and ended up just doing it the way they're doing it. So who knows where their relationships stand between them and the companies.
What's been really cool about Apple Pay is watching everybody else do the work for Apple, right?
Oh,
You have the credit card company saying, come use Apple Pay, and you have the store saying, come use Apple Pay.
Right.
And I don't think any company other than Apple can get
sellers. I thought you had the stores saying, screw Apple Pay, we want to use this instead.
You had like two stores.
Oh, okay. I haven't been paying much attention.
You have a massive conglomerate of stores who are talking about currency, and that's an entirely different matter. There are a ton of banks and several large stores who have been making their own commercials for Apple Pay support. And that's all the commercials are. There's nothing else about the, like, not their products, not their services. It's all about Apple Pay.
And
it's
the, really kind of bizarre. That Apple allows that to happen is in and of itself a big deal. I mean, and I'm sure somebody signs off on it, but still.
And I mean, even at that though, I've gone to plenty of convenience stores around here, grocery stores, everything, never seen a single person doing an Apple Pay transaction. And
I'm not sure I have either, actually.
It's a pretty tech-forward part of the country here, and everybody has iPhones. Everybody's still pulling out their wallet and swiping at Walgreens and Bartels and Whole Foods, all these in Target, all these places that have NFC payments.
So here's an interesting hypothetical to kind of segue into. Imagine 5 years' time, you drive your Apple car into a drive-thru. Does it come with Apple Pay, and can you buy a burger just by driving through a drive-thru?
There's a sensor on the road. Like,
yeah. Do you accidentally pay for somebody else's stuff as you, you know, drive too close?
Possibly.
You can't decide what you want on the burger either. It only comes.
But you can only get the Apple Pay burger.
Cedric wants to talk about notifications and vibration settings, and
it's. I need to write an article on how it's just a mess and a failure. And
I'd rather talk Google's about payment also providers.
We did this last week, but it's Google's fault. It's the manufacturer's fault. It's everyone's fault, and it's terrible.
And it's either fixed in Android 5.1 or it's not, depending on who you ask.
I think Alex came down to the result of his rant a couple days ago was, Google shouldn't have given the manufacturers the ability to screw it up this bad.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, that burns inside.
Well, that was a simple vibe, but Google screwed it up in the first place by doing what they did, and they screwed it up in the second place by just not having guidelines strict enough to make manufacturers not screw it up even more badly.
Google did a piss poor job with the UI.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. You have a situation where the likes of LG have no. You either have mute sound, or sorry, you either have vibrate sound, or do not disturb. There is no easy way to get to priority there. It's horrible, and LG has to take responsibility for that, but so does Google.
And so with the Lollipop update on the T-Mobile Galaxy S5, the US versions have it slightly better, and I think they actually did it better than the way Google does it. Not as good as HTC did it, which is just strip everything out, but basically you still, when you hit volume, you can go through the volumes, go to vibrate, go to mute. And that's, so if you never want to touch the priority stuff, it's unbeknownst to you, it's happening, but you can still just volume down to mute. And I think that they, that's at least something that people understand.
And here's the crazy thing with the way LG's doing it. So the whole reason you don't have mute in stock Lollipop is because Google wants you to use priority and do not disturb. The way LG's doing it is they don't provide any, like they have the thing in there that forces you not to use mute because mute just isn't there, but they also have just no way to get to the thing that Google wants you to use instead of mute, which is priority. But it's just insane.
Everybody needs to remember that HTC is using the same version and the same APIs as Samsung and LG and Google.
And HTC did it, so it looks the exact same way.
The ability to do it the way we all seem to want is in there. I have my theories why Google didn't do it. I think part of it is they want you to be always online or, always be connected to certain people. That's why they did the priority system. Another is they want you to go to the Play Store and spend money to buy an app that'll fix it the way you want it. I don't know why Samsung didn't do it. That puzzles me.
I really didn't mean to send us down that road again. I'm sorry.
As you said the sentence,
Well, let's do this instead. Can we blame Russell for Android 5.1 not being available yet?
It is totally my fault.
Yeah.
I am absolutely responsible.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I forget who I saw say it on Google Plus, but 5.1 is 4.3. Jerry knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I did have to think about that for a second, but they're right. It's out on some phones somewhere, and you can't actually get the code yet.
And look, what's new in there that we know of so far? I mean, some new drop downs and animations, and probably bug fixes. It's not worth.
If it's on a phone that's being sold today, you can get the code if you want to go manually push all the patches. So ROM makers, give us 5.1 if you want. You could even call it 5.1. But for the average person out there, all you need to remember is that the 5.0 you see on a Nexus phone is not the same 5.0 you see on a Samsung phone or an HTC phone or even a Nexus tablet. People are free to pick and choose what parts of the code they want to use and what parts they don't.
If there's one thing I could teach anybody, it's exactly that. That Lollipop on HTC is not Lollipop on Samsung. Right. It's not Lollipop on Motorola. It's just not.
Anybody that's been around long enough and had a Nexus S, you know, depending on where you bought your Nexus S, it had one of four different software versions on it. And none of that's changed. It just, companies have done better to make it look like everybody's on the same version, but they're really not.
Yeah. Kevin also mentioned maybe Motorola's doing an Android TV game system. I don't think that's where they're going with this. Probably not.
I'm just not sure they need to spend time on that.
Yeah. Are you guys aware of how hard Samsung is going to crush 2015 S Joe?
I'm not aware.
I am absolutely aware because I've been to the future just like you.
Well, Phil's been to the future. He already recorded next week's podcast.
That's right.
Young Jinan asks, will Android updates ever be as smooth as iOS updates? When will we stop having to wait for an OS update? You won't. It's just not built for that. And
Well, I mean, everybody on iOS has to wait for the updates. They just wait the same amount of time.
Well, yeah. I mean, they are...
Or different amount of
fundamentally
time.
Fundamentally differently built systems. I've said it before. We are all spoiled by iOS updates.
And go back to the thing I wrote, I think, about a year ago that explains exactly why that is the case, how it is just built into Android that you can never have simultaneous updates across the entire ecosystem.
For the same reasons we just said. Lollipop on HTC is not Lollipop on Samsung. It's not Lollipop on Motorola. It's just not built that way. So we actually do a disservice anytime we use a headline that says Android 5.1 is now available, right? Whatever the next version number is available. Because it isn't. You need to clarify and you need to qualify it and say, no, 5.1 is available in AOSP, which is totally different than what you get on. It's not totally different, but you know what I mean. It is not the same thing as what you get on your phone. It's just not. It's a code repository. That's what it is.
When it comes to software, it's either exactly the same or not exactly the same. There is no degree of difference.
I would love for updates to work like they do on iOS. To push that, you know, what feels like a natural, you know, that feels like what an update should be.
But the difference is if you pay $100, you can get iOS updates right as they come out. But everybody else has to wait 6-8 months.
Well, then there's that. Well, and their bug fixes while they're doing that.
Just kind of like Android. If you want to buy a certain phone, you get the updates the minute they're available. If not, you wait.
I'm glad we don't get excited about those things.
No one method is better than the other, as long as in the end you get a fairly bug-free version of the software.
Hey, by the way, Android Wear watches are getting 5.02 for what that's worth. Just bug fixes, right?
Yeah, mine still doesn't.
Oh, is that what I told mine not to download earlier?
Yet? Maybe. Yeah, I don't have it yet. On as we all stop to check our watches at the end of the podcast.
Speaking don't mind of good me, I'm not being rude. I'm just looking at my watch.
I was out and didn't know if I had enough battery, so I told it no.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do us. That was a fun, good podcast, though.
What a wicked game to play. Make me feel this way.
How is it that no one has made a soundboard of the things that Phil says during these podcasts?
Nobody loves me.
He would fire me.
You're listening to it right now. You're listening to the Phil soundboard right now.
I still understand why there's not an app that is a soundboard that I can set as my notification tones. Someone needs to get on that.
Somebody's desperate for their weekly app picks if they really do that.
Jerry will just write his own app, submit it.
That's right.
Totally.
If I can do it for Obama, I can do it for Nickinson.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. right, well, that's going to do us for this week. Again, next week we will not be live, but we have a really good show lined up for you. You know, some really good Android Auto stuff and CarPlay stuff as well, because those two are going to be living side by side. So I thought it was important to talk about them at the same time. Some really good discussion. I'll just tell you, I flat out asked Renee, how can Apple put out a watch that looks like that? That's what I asked him. You won't believe what he told me.
You say what we're all thinking.
Imagine what he told you.
What Renee told me will shock you. I hate Facebook headlines.
I don't know. I heard that Johnny Ive said that it's the only acceptable shape for a digital watch.
I gotta go finish reading that, actually. That was a really good piece.
That's because Braun and Sony never made a watch for Johnny
Ive. All right, so on the 27th, no live show, but I'll put it up the 26th.
I mean, the live show from various planes around the world would be kind of fun.
It would. But, you know, I think I tried that once. It didn't quite work. We will do some sort of podcast from Barcelona, I promise. Probably, I don't know, if not Sunday, maybe Monday night.
Probably at an inconvenient hour for most of our listeners.
Well, no, it'll be better for them. It'll be bad for us. It'll be late. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, look for that, you know, early week after next, in about a week and a half, I guess. So, if you want to, you can email us, podcast@androidcentral.com. Actually, I was going to read one. Damn it, I always forget. Phone encryption, do I need it? Asked GUI.
Yes and no.
Good answer. Thank you.
You know, depends on what your needs are.
I'm going to say no. I'm okay without it right now. I get why it's there. It's important. But
it, as long as you use password protection on your lock screen religiously,
yep.
If you told me no, I don't need it, I couldn't argue with your needs.
And we should mention, now that we're starting to get phone shipping with Olipop, like this thing right here, this does not have encryption default.
For those of you who can't see Alex, that would be the G-Flex 2.
That would be the G-Flex 2, yeah.
In the future, anytime Alex angrily says, this thing right here, he's talking about the G-Flex 2.
Yeah. So I think some people are thinking that because the Nexus has came with encryption defaulted on, that would be the case on every Olipop phone. Not the case on this thing here. The G-Flex 2. So make of that what you will. Chances are that'll be the same. You know, it'll be up to the manufacturer as to whether they want to do that or not. And you would imagine, given the current I/O overhead involved with doing that, that most probably would go for performance over security.
There's a there's a story in there that Russell and I are working on, so stay tuned. There's plenty of things Google could do differently, and they're not.
Podcast@androidcentral.com.
Yeah, we're gonna we're gonna try to, you know, figure it all out.
We are brought to you by the Android Central Store or shopandroid.com. Everybody kind of raided all the quick chargers this week, by the way. So if they're out of stock, check back. And I know they're trying to get some more in, some other, you know, brands and stuff in.
Got car chargers and wall chargers, right?
Those car chargers are awesome. Yes, that's where, you know, the ones I got came from, and I'm pretty stoked about them because they're not huge. That was the surprising thing, is how small the car chargers were. I've got a I need to write up something on this before I go, because I'm gonna take it with me. This is the travel charger that's in there, and the prongs fold up, which is super important. So, and in fact, I think that's one of the ones that almost sold out. So yeah, some really good stuff going on there, and I think that's it. I think we're done. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, go find us on the social stuff. You got not anyway. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, Russell, people at home. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That outstanding episode of the Android Central Podcast was brought to you by Lynda.com. Go ahead and invest in yourself and sign up for a free 10-day trial to get professional teaching in all the things. Just go to Lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com/Android Central. Go ahead. We challenge you to learn something new in 2015.